From the sidelines of the virtual hardwood, it's the NLSC Podcast, episode number 269. Happy New Year, basketball gamers. I am Andrew. I'm joined by Ben, also known as Arcane, who we welcome back to the show. Still remote and on location, Ben.
Yeah, good to be back. I've really missed being on the show for the last few episodes that we did. Sorry I couldn't make it, or it was a busy time catching up with family and having stuff that we needed to do and that. So yeah, it's good to be back though, and yeah.
New year, new me, new shows, or everything
yeah.
that comes along with that. And of course, Kenny.
Good to be back as well. We don't quite have enough for a 2K Pro-Am squad, but hopefully we have enough people here for an entertaining show.
Well, we've got 3v3 in the park. I mean, that's what they tell us to play, right? If we don't want to do that. But
And I guess we got enough for the cage as well, but yeah. Nah.
Rattle those cages. It's your 50th show, Kenny. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Does that mean I surpass John now, or is that... do I still have a couple more to go?
As an official host, you do, with 50. He does have 51 episodes, including his two guest appearances. Technically, actually, he has a third guest appearance, because when he was going over to Novato for the interview, he actually was staying with Leftos, and you can actually hear his plate being scraped in the background when we're talking to Leftos. So it's a unscripted cameo from Jas Ming there.
He's the sound effects guy.
He was a Foley artist, that's right. But yes, as an official host, you are now third place, alone in third place.
Ah, excellent. I guess I'll need to do a few more episodes this year just to make sure I'm officially past John as far as appearances are concerned.
Oh, absolutely. And then you can go to Novato as well. And just then Ben can go, and then it's just going to be me ranting to myself on the podcast like I tried a couple of times.
Old man yelling at Cloud, right?
I was about to say the exact same thing. Holy crap.
Old man yelling at Cloud Storage these days. Yep. Cloud saves. So, guys, we took a few weeks off. We wanted to be refreshed and recharge our batteries for the new year, looking forward to a new year of shows. Of course, last year, a lot of things got in the way, some technical issues, personal matters, always, you know, that's going to happen from time to time. We also got a bit burned out on the show. I know I certainly did. I've been doing it for a few years now, but I think the break's done me good. I'm looking forward to getting together with you guys and chatting about virtual hoops this year. It's hopefully going to be a big year for hoops, virtual hoops, and real NBA, I suppose, but as far as our podcast goes, hopefully everything on the virtual hardwood is entertaining.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too. I suppose, you know, we'll have those moments where it's a sort of quiet period, and like during the sort of later in the year, and it's like probably assess whether it's worth doing a show and that. But you know, I'm feeling good for, you know, the start of the new season, I guess, for us, and good to have Kenny back, and like, because it's been a few months since we got to really sort of even catch up. Like, so yeah, it's. Yeah, it's good to catch up with all three again. It feels like early last year, and that when we were all sort of started up and we were all a bit...
Before 2018 beat us into the ground, you mean? So.
Yes. That year, that was.
what a wonderful 12 months. No, last year wasn't too bad, but hopefully this year even better. Looking forward. As you say, Ben, I mean, when we get to the preview season, it always gets a bit slow, so we'll try and get some original discussion, I guess, going there, some feature discussion while we're waiting for the inevitable slow parts of the year where neither EA or 2K are really saying anything. We'll come up with something. Just want to thank everyone for giving their feedback throughout last year, but certainly when I threw it out late last year, to get some feedback on the show moving forward. A lot of kind remarks, a lot of people saying, don't change a thing, you guys are the best show in the world. Actually, maybe that's exaggerating a little bit, but certainly some kind remarks anyway. And we will keep doing what we're doing and talking about some basketball video games, a little bit of real basketball on the side perhaps, but thought we'd tip things off by catching up with some news that came out late last year after we went on hiatus, which is a couple of patches for games. Patch 1.16 and 1.17 came out for NBA Live 19. 1.17 was basically just a hot fix for a couple of issues for 1.16. 1.16, just running down some of the key notes. They've changed the win conditions for 3v3 to 15 points, added the earned edition jerseys to the 5v5 game modes, including Ultimate Team, which was nice to see, tuned some things with momentum jump shots and ball carry fatigue. And a big thing that I noticed, and with you getting so far with it, Kenny, users with a level 100 created player will now be able to start their second created player at level 50.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really cool feature, particularly since, like, it can be a bit of a grind to get up that high, although, you know, not as much of a grind as other basketball video games. But, yeah, it's good that they kind of acknowledge that it takes a lot of work to get up to that point, so why not give them a bit of a bonus if they want to start a new one?
And of course, Ben, you've started a couple of games, a couple of different players, so this would really benefit what you're trying to do.
Yeah, you know, this is definitely a good incentive, and given that I'm imagining that, like, what was in the previous title, Live 18, was the traits or badges and stuff that you earn. You know, if your player had that in their play style and that, you could actually use those as well. So that's a potentially added bonus in terms of that, instead of having to start from bronze again to getting up to the gold tier ones and all that. So yeah, I think they're doing a lot of good and goodwill in that sort of sense. And yeah, I think I agree with what Kenny said. Even though it's not as much of a grind as other games in that, it's a nice gesture to part to long-term players in that sort of sense, that it'll take out that sort of slow, monotonous grind element to it. So I definitely welcome that, and it definitely helped in terms of my second creator player.
Well, you know, replay value is something I think the career modes have perhaps struggled with, and certainly 2K with all its grinding is perhaps more notorious for that. But this does give you a reason to want to try a second player, if you do put in the effort to get to 100 for your first play, to actually try it out again. It actually adds replay value, which for the career modes, I mean, we've always had that in franchise modes, because you could start a few different franchises, simulate through, etc. But with the career modes, yeah, you really only just play one through the year, because it's just so much work that you have to put into it that you don't really want to start a second
money
one.
In the other case.
Or in some cases, indeed, money. For not so much in Live yet, but you don't know what could happen in the future. I think it's a great move, absolutely. I haven't played as much of Live as I have 2K this year, I have to admit. I've played a little bit of the one, but yeah, I mean, as I get perhaps into more of it this year, that may be something I look to do, but certainly I think a very good move on their part there. The gameplay adjustments, as I said, momentum jump shots, still have green releases available to players who would be able to shoot high percentages on the run. They've tuned ball carry fatigue to drain slow when a player is out of short-term stamina, and faster when short-term stamina is full, just for balancing there. And the other thing they continue to tune is variables that impact shot percentages for shots around the rim. Inside shots and layups will now better factor openness versus being contested. Now, I know, Kenny, you've had some very frustrating moments with missing open layups at times. Have you noticed any difference? Have you had a chance to jump onto to Live 19 and see if that worked? I played a couple of games myself, but I wasn't too sure whether I could notice that much of a difference. Might need to give it a bit more of a go myself.
I mean, it was a pretty noticeable difference for me, but some of the layups I was missing pre-patch were just ridiculous. I think there was one where Dikembe Mutombo was within maybe about 10 feet of me, and I ended up missing because, I don't know, I guess I was intimidated by his presence. But yeah, it's something that that definitely needed improving, as far as like making the game kind of more playable. I know that it kind of made me feel a bit disheartened. Mm. That's the right word?
Disheartened.
Yeah, it made me feel disheartened. A
bit of both.
Yeah, disenchanted as well by playing the game. So it was definitely something that was needed as far as like the playability is concerned.
Yeah, and I think I made the comment that it was kind of like the situation with 2K18, how there was a lot of the missed layup opportunities and all that stuff that happened in that game, and yeah, you replied in response to that too.
And being a shooter archetype, or a point guard at least, in Live 19, as I so often am in these games these days, I'm glad to see some of the changes to the jump shots as well. I still feel that jump shots in Live aren't as good as they used to be. I feel that, especially online, I just can't shoot. I feel that there's a bit too much input lag on the shot meter. So I do want to see that cleaned up. I mean, it could just be that, of course, in Australia, and I haven't played online for a while, so we'll see. But I do think the shooting mechanics in Live do need to be tuned, and it's very important they tune those shots around the rim, because there was nothing more frustrating, as you guys can attest to, than missing so many easy bunnies around the rim while the CPU was just making all kinds of contested shots through contact and everything. It's something that I guess the CPU needs a bit of an advantage to be competitive, but it just felt very unfair, Ben.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was a bit of a frustration in some recent years and with regards to that. So yeah, and you know we're seeing tuning, which is good, and yeah, they just need to continue it and see how it goes by the next few months, I guess. See how much they improve it there.
And Kenny, there's new audio. That means more Jay Williams lines.
Hooray! Cannot wait to hear those nuggets of pure genius.
But there is new speech, commentary reactions to ankle breakers to add some additional excitement to NBA and WNBA broadcasts. And also, and this is good, banter logic improvements. For example, Jimmy Butler no longer being referenced as though he's still on the Timberwolves. And I think that's definitely a big one with the dynamic commentary. It was always, remember when we used to update the rosters in old NBA Live games on PC and you'd... the commentary, of course, wouldn't update as well, so you'd be trading players around as they had moved around in real life, and of course the commentary would still reference them as though they were in other games. And of course the official roster updates as well. So I do like that they've changed that. It's I think it's good for presentation, basically, that it's still not... That part is also evolving as well as the rest of the game.
Yeah. I think that was, you know, one downside, although I agree, like, in terms of what Kenny's sarcastic tone and that, yeah, I think they could do with some better commentators in that sense, but I'm liking the fact that they're continuing adding new commentary into it, so it's, you know, there's some good and some bad in that, but yeah, I see the benefit for the moment in terms that the updates and that with the amount of commentary that they're adding is probably giving it that slight edge over the negative in that sort of sense.
It's one of those things, as you say, the positive and negative, taking the good with the bad, that they have gone with this, I'll generously say, B-squad commentary team, as opposed to the lead squad of Jeff Van Gundy and Mike Breen, is that they are able to bring them into the studio to record new dialogue. That is the trade-off. But I think it also affects the presentation, because you look at 2K, they've got Kevin Harlan, of course, who's right up there as one of the best NBA announcers, I feel, right up there, you know, with a Breen or a Marv Albert. And they've also got so many different commentators that they rotate in that the 2K's presentation, although it does get repetitive, also feels a bit fresher. And I think they've got different voices to change things up from game to game. And I think you mentioned that before, but I think both of you have mentioned that at certain times. And I know you noted that, Kenny, as well, having taken a year off from 2K and how welcome that felt.
Yeah, I think 2K is definitely the much better game as far as like the commentary presentation is concerned. But as far as like the patch is concerned, I think that, you know, adding like those little updates, like mentioning Jimmy Butler's no longer with the Timberwolves, so like commentary tracks for him, you know, after the trade, I think that is a real kind of that's a real argument for dynamic commentary, is that you can kind of add that stuff in later on and kind of freshen it up a bit, but you know, bad commentators are still bad commentators.
That is the unfortunate reality of that situation. A couple of bug fixes for presentation for cameras where players will be off screen during inbounds and crowd not reacting appropriately, and they've also updated court battles, restructuring the ward tiers for and added a fourth tier of owning 12 courts. And all court rules are now added to the one store for 100 reward points each. So another pretty solid update for Live, and they've done some good tuning with the gameplay and everything. I guess the main thing, which we've said so many times before, is the only thing that Live continues to improve in these areas, it's just trying to find a mode that really hooks us.
Yeah, I mean the focus can't just insult entirely on the one element. I mean, as good as enjoyable as it is, actually, even won some advantages from one of the gaming sites, sort of modes of the year in that sort of sense over 2K's market. So, you know, that does some really good stuff with it. But yeah, they need to deepen the rest of the game. Just a quick question in regards to the, because they added the Tristan Jess stuff. I think his name is. all the some of the creators and all that stuff, content creator stuff.
Yeah.
Did you guys get to play any against any of that?
No, I haven't played it live this year, actually. Well, it's only 4 days, 5 days into the year, but no, I didn't actually play any of those live events.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, I just wanted to sort of see if they were good and if you got to get any of the moves in that, so in some of the animations and that. Because, yeah, I mean, when I saw it, and we've known it's been coming for a little while.
Hmm.
But, yeah, it was good to see it finally being added into the game.
Oh, definitely. And now that I've got my player in 2K19 up to 90 overall... spoilers for our week in basketball gaming. I think I'll be able to spend some more time with live and do that. So that, because obviously I've got my player in a position where we can do the pro-am, and I'm not too much of a disadvantage of being 65 overall with no badges. But but I will be able to spend a bit more time with live and other games now, having done that. Yeah, I think we need to get some of our content in there somehow one of these days. Frankly,
yeah. Well, I sit out there. Yep.
Spoke up on our behalf, representing the NLSC, of course.
Yep. So hopefully we would, you know, get the opportunity. I mean, it'd make sense, given that, you know, we are probably technically the original content creators for the community in that sort of sense.
We are entering our 23rd year this year.
And, you know, we've had some support in some of the replies, so, yeah, we'd like to thank those guys.
Absolutely. The community has always been very... good to us for having been around for so long. So always appreciate that support. And as for live, continue to put out some good updates. 1.17, as I said, is a hot fix, it seems. It addresses an issue with the urn jerseys where they were disabling some of the audio, the commentary in the intro. Although maybe that's a good thing, Kenny, disabling the intro commentary. But nevertheless...
Yeah, maybe, but I'm not sure it's like a feature that they really intended, so...
Probably best, yeah, to fix that up, yeah, I agree. Also receiving a patch late last year was NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, one of the most awkwardly titled basketball games out there. patch 1.04 for that. Basically, the Christmas update, I guess, so for those of you who thought Christmas was over in December, no, we're referencing it right now in January. We're still putting our decorations up. added a new Christmas playground and 10 new Christmas-themed outfits. Unlocked 35 new players, including Dennis Rodman and Karl Malone. You still got to get them in packs, of course. 29 new vanity items and various minor issues and stability improvements addressed. It's nice to see them pushing through new content for Playgrounds 2. The gameplay is pretty solid. But Kenny, you and I were talking about it before we started recording, and neither of us have really gotten into it, haven't been playing it that much. I think we both kind of feel it's solid, but hasn't really gripped us, and certainly not quite on the level of On Fire Edition, NBA Jam On Fire Edition.
Yeah, so I think there's a few issues with 2K Playgrounds, but the major one for me is the shot meter. Like, when you see a shot go up from half court and it tells you that you have no chance of hitting it, like, what's even the point of putting a shot up? So I think those kind of elements in a game that's supposed to be played fairly casually, I don't like them being there. And I kind of blame, like, the whole online competitive aspect of the game, because if that wasn't there, then, you know, you probably would have something like On Fire Edition where you wouldn't necessarily have, like, those, I guess, not so much the shot meter itself, but just the probability measures. Like, I just don't understand why they are needed in, like, an arcade title.
It does kind of feel, and I've felt this way before, that Playgrounds, even the first one, it kind of have some sim elements in with the arcade stuff, which does change it up, but also doesn't really feel quite right. Like, and you bring up the shot meter and making threes and everything. Like, even if you have really good three-point shooters, although everyone starts out with lower ratings until you grind them up, which is another thing I don't really like about Playgrounds too, that you've got to increase yeah. everyone's ratings like they're a my player, basically. I think that was... it feels like artificial longevity they've added to the game there. But even if you've got a player like Glenn Rice... is it Glenn Rice I have? I think it's Glenn Rice. Starts out, only has about 28% of making a three, which is less than the percentage he shot in the NBA for a start. And I think a player like that in an arcade game should be gunning it from three, basically. And I guess they wanted to nerf it from last year, because last year it was very easy to shoot threes to the point where it basically there was no need to take it in for a dunk, especially how often dunks miss, and that is still an issue in a game that's about high-flying crazy dunks. Dunks miss way too often. And I think that's where NBA Jam still remains a superior game, because even with the low-rated big men, the big men who were back in the 90s didn't shoot threes very much and had the lower ratings, you could still hit threes with Patrick Ewing or Hakeem Olajuwon with their low ratings, not as efficiently as your Mark Prices or whatever back in the day, but you could still hit it, and you could still dunk with Muggsy Bogues, and you could still make most of your dunks. And I think Playgrounds 1 and 2 kind of take a bit too much of a sim element to shooting, and the shot meter and the timing and everything, as you say, Kenny, it does kind of interfere with the casual fun of the game, and that is the whole appeal of it, contrary to the sim-oriented titles, is that it is a bit more casual and fun and exaggerated. And it's funny that it doesn't feel like it's exaggerated enough.
Yeah, I mean, taking out the absurdity is kind of like the charm that hooked a lot of people into NBA Jam. So I guess I don't understand the whole... Well, I do understand it. It's for pretty much online play, and so that, you know, dirty casuals, as they're called, aren't like dominating the games over people who play it all the time. But... I don't know. I just think that as good as the game is in some areas, I think it misses the point in areas where it feels a little bit too sim. And like the thing for me is I think there's plenty of replayability in the game, because you can have like the season modes are very short and sharp, and you unlock players through playing the season mode. So yeah. You could play like the season mode 30 times potentially. So that's got enough replayability just by itself.
Exactly.
So like adding in those elements kind of, it almost takes away from that.
And I kind of miss playing with NBA teams as NBA Jam did, you know, players split up in teams. It's a nice idea to be able to split it up into mix and match players, kind of like NBA Street. And that's where it is, that hybrid between Street and Jam. But I still feel that Street and Jam individually did it a lot better. So, sorry, I cut you off there, Ben.
That's all right. I think this is also a downside to games designing to be a grind, and they lose that charm or that original hook that we had when they're trying to do this new hook, where it's just, yeah, like I said, that grind, and, you know, to either monetize or, you know, to try and, I guess, loot box sort of systems, and that instead of it being, yeah, that fun element that you had, like when you were playing as a child and that or when you were younger. So it was, yeah, that missing charm is gone now, and I think companies are forgetting how to do that. And, you know, EA is guilty of it in a lot of ways, and not just aside from, you know, that sort of, the reason that little classic hook as to why he kept coming back to it is it's a missing thing from a lot of games these days, because it's all about trying to get that stupid grind or that monetization factor.
Although it should be noted that as quite literally an arcade game, NBA Jam was designed to suck quarters out of people's wallets, so naturally it was the original microtransactions, the arcade.
Yeah.
So,
but even still, like when it was on like consoles and that, it was still fun, and it.
Well, that's right. You didn't have to put money into the Nintendo, so that was one thing at least. you paid your of course, in the US, probably $60 or $50. Over here, closer to $100 for the Super Nintendo game or Genesis game. Mega Drive game, and yeah, you didn't have to put money in, but yes, they were. That was the original microtransactions for sure. But with that being said, I mean, it has done pretty well. Reception is fairly positive. Do you guys see this series becoming an annual thing, or maybe every 2 or 3 years, much the same way Jam was back in the day?
Well, given that 2K's got it, yeah, I could definitely see it being annualized. But how much the quality improves, and then how much further microtransaction they implement to it, I don't know. That's the X factor, and that's part of the reason why I haven't bought it.
That is another thing, of course, actually very openly having those microtransactions, Kenny, in the game. I mean, they did come up with DLC for last year's game, but now it's right there, the roster unlock straight away, and the whole Golden Bucks thing, and the Golden Bucks, admittedly for cosmetic items and not for player packs, but it does kind of leave a bit of a bitter taste or a sour taste in your mouth.
Yeah, it was kind of like our worst nightmare realized, as far as like its affiliation with 2K. Mm. But as far as being an annual game is concerned, I don't really see the point in it being an annual game. Like, for me, yeah. I think arcade titles are pretty evergreen. Like, you don't really need to update them every year, because the attraction to them is the absurdity. It's the crazy dunks. It's not necessarily the sim. So, yeah, I mean, if they, as far as like a money grab is concerned, yeah, bring it out every year. But I just don't see the point from a consumer standpoint.
Yeah, I think this is the type of game where if you wanted to, you know, you just do some content roster update stuff, you know, you could probably have it realistically the game out for 2 years and then maybe bring out a new one, you know, if you're going to do something with a few more modes and stuff like that. So, this is again why, you know, in previous podcasts I've been stressing that, you know, this is where EA, if, you know, if they still had the street light, still ability to do a street in NBA Jam, you know, you do one year, the other year. So like how, like what I guess Activision do with their Call of Duty series, or even what Microsoft do with their Forza series, where they have like the Horizon, and then they'll just have the Motorsport version, like sort of each like 1 year, then the other year, sort of thing. So that have us that rotation.
Oh, absolutely, and you bring up content updates, which will be pretty easy because they already push through new cards for players,
yeah.
and they did last year as well. So it should be trivial to do that. I mean, would they release it as a quote unquote expansion pack every year just to get in that extra money? I could see them doing that, and I think a cheaper expansion pack for the new season. I mean, it'd be even better goodwill to just push through some new cards. But if they do want to do the new rookies or whatever as an expansion pack DLC. I think that would be the smarter way to go. I also think we're going to have to come up with a new name, because it can't be keep going NBA 2K Playgrounds 3, 4, 5. It's going to have to probably become NBA Playgrounds 2K whatever. NBA or NBA 2K Playgrounds 2K 12. Oh, that'd be even worse, actually, if they put two 2Ks in there. I think they should do that. And it's going to be easier than arguably Jam, because they don't even really have to move players around, because they can just slot those new cards onto teams as players change teams. Presumably change some of the ratings if players do need to be adjusted, even just from the base ratings up to the diamond level players. I could see it happening because, again, as you say, the affiliation with 2K, but I do think it would be overkill, especially with Playgrounds 2 coming out. Unless they can come out with some really good expansions of game modes that can't be patched in, I think it would definitely be overkill. I was okay with Playgrounds 2 coming out last year because Playgrounds 1 was kind of bare bones, and again, I likened it to the NBA Jam Tournament Edition coming out a year after NBA Jam. I know, Ben, you brought, might have been Kenny, or both of you brought up the Street Fighter 2, all the versions of Street Fighter 2 that came out. So it was like that. So I was okay with back-to-back releases 2017 and 2018, but I don't think we need one in 2019, basically. But having said that, watch out as we get into that in the preview season, probably, because if it can make money, well, you know, that's kind of the name of the game, I suppose.
Yeah, 2K Playgrounds 3 coming out in August or September. There we go. Just basically confirmed it.
NBA 2K Playgrounds 3 2K20. How about that?
Oh, Jesus.
We're just going to call it Playgrounds 3, aren't we? We're not going to use the same the title all the time.
It's just too much branding in that. And it's like, yeah, it's just...
I'll throw a couple of sponsors in there, sponsored by Kia as well, the official...
Reese's?
Yeah, Reese's Puffs, oh man.
And then have Beef Freshers.
Unlockable player, yeah.
Yeah. we just fed them ideas, haven't we?
Yeah, we need to start getting paid in these ideas, and not Golden Bucks or VC either. I want real money for our ideas this time, thank you very much.
Look, if they're going to bring characters back, bring Vic back from the dead. That would be awesome. Do it for like a Halloween expansion.
The Day of the Living Dead.
He can shoot, but he can't drive.
Dark, but good. I'll say that.
So those are the patches that have come out over the holiday season. There are some content updates coming through for Live and 2K already in the new year, rosters and whatnot. of course, if there are any major updates, we will continue to talk about them as we go forward. Have a little bit of other news this week to catch up on from the past few weeks that we've been off. There's an announcement on Twitter, or just certainly a tweet that's been put out by Ben Bishop. He's a senior producer there at NBA 2K, and if I remember correctly, he is actually the head of the My Career team. Put out a tweet for any Bay Area folks interested in helping with NBA 2K20. Position will be specifically focused on My Career, looking for someone with a good amount of experience with the game that can jump in and help them finish it off through the summer. So they're looking to put it on. It's a temporary position. He's put a link to the recruitment and the application, and it's for people in the Bay Area who can go to Novato, obviously, and not have to be flown in or put up in accommodation. It's a temporary position, but yeah, helping finish off My Career in 2K20. And Kenny, you and I were talking about this a little bit before Ben jumped on, before we started recording, and we got to talking about last year's story and everything, and I noted how there were some similarities to Andre Ingram coming in for that last couple of games of the season with the Lakers, and how it was kind of coincidental, because usually they have to finish the story mode especially with all the acting and everything, well in advance of that time. So it's interesting that they actually, the timing of what they've got in, and it makes you wonder what the position is and basically what they're doing this year.
Yeah, it was definitely a big coincidence. Like, it was almost like they anticipated that somebody would be kind of assigned to the Lakers towards the end of the season. And particularly since, like, that Andre Ingram story was, like, really compelling. So I can kind of understand, like, why, like, a company like 2K would be influenced by that and, like, want to make a similar story. So, there's definitely a lot of parallels to be drawn there.
And actually, WWE 2K14 telegraphed the end of The Undertaker's winning streak at WrestleMania, just to throw that out there. So 2K's got a pretty good predictions record now, apparently. So
it's like the Simpsons.
Simpsons has predicted a lot of things, yeah. Simpsons did it first. So,
yeah.
So they are bringing in this... looking to bring in someone from the Bay Area to help out Ben, so you might be a little bit out of range. Start swimming, yeah. You're closer than... Well, not at the moment. You're further south than I am at the moment, but normally you're closer than I am, I suppose, to make that swim. so they're looking to bring this in, and I suppose it says the job responsibilities include assist in the day-to-day of feature development, track bugs, provide feedback, and work side-by-side with the development and QA teams. Communicate with cross-functional teams, and obviously they want people with extensive knowledge of 2K and being an active 2K player and a proactive attitude and all those other wonderful things. But yeah, it certainly does make you wonder, again, what they're looking to do, that they're bringing someone in on a temporary basis.
Yeah, I just hope they go back to doing really good, that's for sure. They have to, again, it's something that we know would be difficult, but yeah, just a little bit more choice and variation in the story be good.
Well, story branching is, I think, the key moving forward, and it makes you wonder if they are doing something more ambitious. I mean, I thought they might at this point, can he go with multiplayer My Career? I mean, that would be very hard to do, but we had the two-player control with Orange Juice in 2K17. I thought they'd continue to innovate that way, but they've kind of gone back to, I suppose, they've got the neighborhood and everything, but as far as gameplay mechanics and that kind of thing, they haven't really done like a connected experience or something like that, which I thought might be the next step.
I mean, they've kind of got something similar to that with the team takeover, where if you fill up your takeover bar enough, you can actually take over your entire team.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah, that is true.
So they have that. They have that, but they don't have like a dynamic duo in a sense. Like, you've got like a villain, I suppose, of the story, and maybe that's in there instead of like a dynamic duo kind of element. But it does make me wonder what they are going to bring into the story. Hopefully it's something compelling. As far as like the story structure is concerned, I would argue that ambiguity would probably be a good thing for them, because my main gripe with 2K stories, well, I have a few, but one of them is that they seem a little bit too specific. Like, they're shoehorning a story in where, like, you kind of... One that has, like, a bit more... That's a bit more open to interpretation, I suppose, would probably go a lot further.
Mm. Yeah. One that's maybe told on the virtual hardwood more so than through cutscenes, because especially when your character doesn't really match the way you want to roleplay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I thought the
Living the Dream one is a good example of that.
But like even this one, I thought that my player was a bit too entitled, like particularly since like they were an undrafted player out of college, like they kind of seemed like, you know, they expected to get in the NBA, and
yeah.
Just really kind of, I don't know, it kind of got to me a bit.
And there's that disconnect, and it goes back to, again, things like you said in Living the Dream, Ben, where you want to make these decisions, or you make these decisions where you're giving these polite answers and these humble answers in press conferences, but then you get a on-rails cutscene and you're all arrogant again, and you're like, this is a really weird disconnect between the characterization. And how good would it have been, Ben, in Living the Dream, if for example, you had the choice between cutting Vic off or keeping him in your life, and that had an impact on your career moving forward? I think that would have been a good branching option.
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, even just an option to like say, look, you know, tell Vic to basically get his shit together, and if he doesn't, he's basically, you know, out the door in that sort of sense. And, you know, yeah, we definitely need that. But I guess too, also the reference that Living the Dream was very much designed for American, or you know, my career in terms of that, when you know, given us, we're all white.
That's the thing.
We had that disconnect with you know, especially given that our twin sister's black, and it's like, yeah, this doesn't quite work
because the characters didn't change. Yeah.
that reminds me of the most immersion breaking scene in the 2K19 story. Is where you're in China and all the people coming up to you think you're Corey Harris. And it's like, my player's white. How are they getting mixed up with this guy?
Yeah.
See, I thought the same thing, but then I got to thinking, well, if they just know that there is an NBA player called Corey Harris, they don't really know who it is, but they just know there is an NBA player called Corey Harris. But yeah, there is that disconnect there. But
the thing is, like, people of China, I imagine they're a lot more knowledgeable about NBA now because of like Yao Ming and
people
trailblazing. Like, there's a big market there. So, like, yeah, it was just something that was like,
that's
a little weird.
I just kind of took it to think that they just got it mixed up, like the names mixed up or something. I think that's the only way to reconcile it, basically. Because but it is. I mean, Spike Lee wrote the story, and there is certainly nothing wrong with having that story and telling that story, because it is a familiar tale for a lot of players in the NBA. But of course, because the mode also encourages you to put yourself in the game, and because you may be white or Asian or Hispanic or, you know, any other ethnicity, certainly if you are putting that face in the game, it doesn't really fit with a twin sister in the family, certainly. And that was the laughable disconnect that we had. I think
if, you know, if that story went the route, say, like what FIFA did with, or even I suppose the NFL's the one, or Madden's the one, was more sort of your base. So definitely more what FIFA did, where, you know, it was a specific person in that sort of sense that they based the story around. So it would have worked better in that sort of sense.
I mean, you talk about whitewashing in Hollywood. That was a really bad case in my career anyway, for what happened there. But I think they have learned from that, and they have moved a little bit away from it. My thing, what I would suggest as far as stories go, would be to have different starting points, which would not only have different not just have different scenes and parts of the story branching there, but also you could have different trade-offs, like an RPG at the start, depending if you choose, say, a highly touted prospect, you start out with higher ratings, but it's more of a grind to upgrade. If you are a more raw prospect, you have lower ratings, but you can upgrade quicker. If you're a veteran coming in from overseas, for example, a player coming from Europe or, hey, Australia, why not? You may start out with higher ratings, but you don't have as much potential because you're a bit older. Or maybe you can start out that you're a player you can be drafted or undrafted. There's a few different ways to start the mode, and depending on which character build you have for that, much like an RPG, can depend how the rest of the story plays out. I think multiple starting points would also be a great way to expand the micro experience, if they're going to have a story approach, which I guess they are going to from now on.
Yeah, I think so as well. And again, take out the monotony of everyone basically experiencing the same thing, or 99% of the same thing.
Pretty much. Of,
you know, it definitely, yeah, it'd be the way that the person gets to tell their story of it. Just trying to think what else.
You can change up the cutscenes by wearing different clothing, which is unusual since it's not a Barbie game, but but you can do it that way if you want to. That is actually something that's really funny with the cutscenes. I feel there should be like normal clothes for a cutscene, or a suit or something that you wear in some of the cutscenes, because it's just ridiculous when you're in this press conference and you've got like a stupid top hat or a helmet with goggles on or something from.
Yeah, you got your street gear on and.
But then again, you see what Russell Westbrook wears to some press conference and you think, well, you know what? Maybe this is more sim than I thought. So. So that has been put out there by Ben Bishop. If you are interested, I have retweeted the link. You can check it out on his Twitter, Ain't Your Bish. And there is a link there. Of course, if you're not in the Bay Area, they're probably going to disqualify you right off the bat. But you can give it a go if you're interested in getting into the industry. Because as we've seen, guys, people from the community have gotten into the industry. I mean, we know a couple.
Definitely worth a try if for those who are interested, and obviously meet the specifications and qualifications. So.
Give it a shot.
Who knows? You could be living the dream.
Oh, wow, yeah. they will know your name, even.
Yeah. So.
Need we go on with hashtags. Speaking of outrage on social media, another of my awkward segues there, but a bit of a Christmas Grinch situation, Kenny, with my team on Christmas Day. It looked like we were getting something nice in our stocking, but then... 2K came along with a bunch of coal. I'm going to drop all those analogies now. There was a My Team code, locker code got put out for a guaranteed pink diamond LeBron James. It was a promotional code that was not supposed to be publicly available, but it was unlimited use. Got out into the wild. Everyone used it. Certainly a lot of people used it and got the card, and only to find that it was removed from everyone's accounts overnight very quietly. Obviously because it wasn't supposed to be there, but this was a controversial issue. A lot of people felt that 2K should basically just eat the mistake. They first thought it was an act of, you know, an act of goodwill over Christmas, and then it turned out to be a mistake. 2K tried to remove the card from everyone's account very quietly. That led to everything blowing up, which also led to releasing a couple of locker codes for a pink chance at another guaranteed pink diamond and some MT, which... They also had to, I think, refund people some diamond contracts that they'd used on that diamond card that got taken away. It was a big thing, Kenny, basically over Christmas, where it looked like 2K had done something really nice, gone back on it, then ended up kind of doing something nice anyway.
Yeah, it was kind of a bizarre situation. I know that I actually put in the locker code myself, and I was really surprised by how easy it was, and I was just like... wait a minute, this just kind of seems a little bit too easy. Sure enough, yeah, it definitely was. It was a big problem, like, particularly since, like, a lot of people did put those diamond contracts on, and, you know, they're very rare, so you kind of want to put them only on your best cards, because they give you, like, unlimited games, so that's you don't right. have to keep replenishing their contracts. That was a big problem. I have to admit, like, I'm not too... upset about it, because I through the other pink diamond code I ended up getting a pink diamond Giannis, so he's just an absolute freight train. That's like one of the best card I have, or one of them anyway. I've got a few good ones now, but I certainly would have been a lot more annoyed if I got the pink diamond Ben Wallace.
Oh yeah, that's shout out to our good friend Leo Valor, for who did get the Ben Wallace, but I know he's since flipped that on the market and got the Allen Iverson. I pulled Allen Iverson on PS4, and on PC I got Blake Griffin, so I was pretty happy with that. Here's the odd thing about the situation, is that it was a code that wasn't meant to get out, so in that respect they didn't take content away from us that we weren't supposed to get it, basically. So I can understand that. I think you can say, yes, people were naive to expect 2K would be that generous, although they did end up being quite generous in the making up for it. I do think, once again, it highlights the problem, and I wrote an article about it late last year that said pink diamonds aren't forever. Mostly, I wrote that article to talk about the situation, yes, but because that phrase popped into my mind, that pun popped into my mind, I thought, oh, I've got to write an article now. I've got to run with this. But it's the lack of communication. The fact that they stuffed up, that they could have let people just say, they could have just shut the code off and say, hey, if you got it, Merry Christmas, you know, you got us on this one, you got lucky. But they tried to quietly remove it and didn't put out an announcement straight away about this is not supposed to happen, don't put cards, don't apply diamond shoes or diamond contracts to this card because you weren't supposed to get it, we're going to take it away. It was just the lack of communication, which has been a big problem with 2K. They don't like delivering bad news, and it ends up, the lack of communication ends up being worse than delivering the bad news, whatever it was going to be. And I also think that you need to give credit where it's due for stepping up and saying, okay, yes, we'll do something nice anyway. But at the same time, if the mistake had never happened, they were not going to give away those codes anyway. The codes that we got that were permanent, that was never going to happen unless there was the mix-up and then the ensuing furor over it. So it's kind of a nice gesture, and I don't want to seem ungrateful for it because I think they handled it well in the end, but at the same time, it's something they never would have done unless their hand was forced. So it's kind of like, how much goodwill is that? Am I out of bounds here, Kenny, or am I...
Well, I mean, I said before the podcast that, you know, they're essentially trying to weather the storm, and, you know, when there's no storm, there's nothing to weather. So I think there's a... you know, kind of a lot of validity behind that kind of thinking that, yeah, unless there was a fuss kicked up, then nothing would have been done. It kind of has, like, it's kind of similar for, like, a lot of features as well. Like, if people hadn't kicked up a fuss about paying for haircuts, then, you know, we probably would be paying for haircuts in 2K19.
Yeah.
So, I think it kind of goes to show that if you complain about something in, like, a... I mean, I guess a lot of people probably didn't complain in a constructive way, but
no.
I mean, if you kind of let your complaints be heard in a constructive way, that some things can be changed. It's just, yeah, if you don't complain, then I guess it won't be changed. And it's a weird kind of moral there, I know.
And I suppose, Ben, it's kind of like you look at the situation with EA and what is it, Battlefront or Battlefield? Battlefront 2.
Yeah, look, even at the shitstorm that Fallout 76 has gone through.
Mm. Well, absolutely, but when I was thinking of... because they walked back on the loot boxes and everything in Battlefront 2,
yeah.
But they only did so because... I mean, that was the right thing to do and a good gesture, but it was only done because of the outrage. If the people had just accepted it, they would have gone through with it, because that's... which I guess is what it comes down to, is that they're going to do it if... or indeed, the canvas bags with Fallout 76 and some of the other issues goes back to what Kenny was saying, is that I guess the squeaky wheel gets the grease in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And yeah, the canvas bag is a good example of that.
My bag.
It's on its... So. it's going to take, you know, potentially like 6 months for them to basically rectify that mistake in that part. So yeah, not only is it costing them money in that sense to correct an error and miscommunication, which, like, again, 2K have done before themselves, and that and then it's also going to cost them the amount of time to replace all that issue and that. So I can see them not wanting to go down or try and avoid what that sort of PR storm was for 76, given that nearly every day there was something new for like a couple of weeks in that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good on them for, you know, trying to minimize that PR storm and all that. But yeah, I agree that it wouldn't have happened if they were basically, I think, if they minimize if they put out that communication and say, look, guys, yes, we made a mistake in this area. This wasn't supposed to come out publicly in that sort of way. Yes, please do not put your extra contracts and all that stuff. Or
the consumables, basically, on there.
Yeah, or if they didn't do it so privately where they just removed everyone's, like basically overnight sort of thing, and say, look, if they had said, look, we're going to do this over the next few days, like give people time to, if they, I don't know, it's not a mode that I play, so I don't know if people can remove the contracts from those cards.
No, you can't remove contracts. So
okay.
Once you use it, they did actually end up, I think, working with people to to get their consumables back, but it kind of had to be a situation where they had to say, like, oh, please present us with video of you applying the contract to the card and things like that. It's the typical 2K support thing. Which you would think they'd be able to check from their end what consumables have been used on someone's account. You would think they would have access to that, which is, I mean, Kenny, you know, dealing with all that with 2K support.
I did deal with something like that earlier this... late last year, I should say. But, I know 2K support kind of... It takes a while to get stuff done. Thankfully, I was able to get my issue sorted out, so I think...
half my issue sorted last year.
I mean, like, I guess they do put in the effort, like, a lot of the time, but sometimes they seem a little bit obtuse.
Definitely.
That would be, like, my main complaint, but, I mean, thankfully, for my situation, I ended up getting a resolution that was suitable, so, yeah.
And I suppose, while this has been a debacle, they did make up for it with the codes, and which was the right thing to do, I think, a kind gesture. It was perhaps what they originally should have done, arguably, with Christmas. I mean, it's not like they haven't got a lot of money out of the gaming community for it. But I will say that I think they have been pretty good with the locker codes this year. I mean, sometimes with the ball drop system, you do get utter garbage, which is less than ideal. But they are at least releasing locker codes fairly frequently, and I've got some pretty good pulls from them. So I will have to give them credit. It's a lot better than last year's time codes where they were all gone in 20 seconds.
Yeah, and I think the whole ball dropping system or whatever, like the pinball thing, it kind of puts everybody on an even playing field. So that's what I like about it. And there's times where the alternative prizes are actually better than like the main one that they're advertising, because sometimes when you get a pack, you're not guaranteed that card. So sometimes it's better to get the tokens or the MT instead.
Well, that's true. I mean, sometimes for the individual, the runner-up prize is actually preferable. It's only when it is a guaranteed card, I guess, that you really feel that you've missed out. Or when you get one MT or 100 MT or one token, it's you feel like, oh, well, thank you very much. It's like the old happy spending message in previous games, almost. But what was some controversy over the holidays, but as a Christmas miracle, I suppose, they were able to bring it out and people got pink diamonds. Unfortunately, our good friend Leo did get coal in his stocking in the form of Ben Wallace. I do share Valor's disdain of Ben Wallace. Fine player, don't like what he did in Chicago. So I understand why he flipped that card as soon as he possibly could. But we'll talk a little bit more about my team when we get to our week in basketball gaming, I'm sure. One last news item I'd like to get to this week before we talk about our week in basketball gaming. Exciting news for the modding community, guys. RedMC, the Red Modding Center, and Redditor 2. They cover from NBA 2K10 to NBA 2K14. They are now completely free. Vlad has been able to get dispensation from his bosses at 2K to release one more version of the editors, both of those editors. They are now free for life for everyone, freely downloadable from our download section, and of course the links that Vlad posted as well. So yeah, there's still quite an active modding community for those older titles on the last gen 2K games on PC, because they are very moddable thanks to RedMC and Redditor 2. Completely free, Ben, and yeah, it was really great. I mean, Vlad did say a few years back that he was looking to do that, and it's come to pass, so I think we might see a bit more retro modding happening moving forward.
Yeah, that'll be good, and you know, it's good to see him get, you know, I guess the approval from, you know, workplace and that he could actually do that, so that's really cool. And yeah, it's good to see him good things and continue working hard with that stuff, so yeah.
Definitely, and that came along just in time for Christmas, so it was a nice Christmas present. I actually posted it a couple of days after Christmas. I had some other things scheduled over Christmas, articles, and then came out with posted the bulletin about that. Kenny, basically the RedMC turns the decrypted roster file into like an Excel database, so you can just flip through the tabs and change everything really easily. So it's and it even can handle some art files as well, the if files for 2K. So it's really become a one-stop modding center, and it's why the modding community on the last gen has been so active. And they haven't been able to really do the same for the current gen because of the file formats. But I guess it goes back to when we were still doing updates for Live 06 and everything. And I know you downloaded some of those back in the day.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime like a powerful application like a Red MC or something is put on the marketplace for free, it makes it more accessible to people who, you know, might even look into get into modding. So, it's definitely great news for the entire modding community that such a powerful program is available to so many people.
And such editors have actually facilitated modding projects such as the Ultimate Base Roster, UR Basketball. New versions of those have come out for 2K14 and 2K13 recently. You can check out the forum and download section for those. I'm sure we'll have lots of file editions coming up for those. And, of course, I'm still working on my roster for 2K11, which is actually used as Red Editor 2. Only thing I'll throw out there is that because of certain aspects of the program, they can trigger false positives with your antivirus. They are actually safe programs. You can bypass those security warnings, add exceptions for them. They are not unsafe. It's just the way they are programmed to check the hardware on the system. That's a legacy issue from when they were when the licensing system was in there. But they are free. You can now so download them from our download section and get into modding, and certainly stay tuned for other great mods from our community. And speaking of community projects, Ben, you had an idea that you floated, I think, on Twitter at one point and wanted to bring up on the first show of this year. So, what's that all about?
Okay, so, yeah, the last few months I've sort of been thinking about what would be something that our community could do that we could make them feel as it was our own game in that way. And I know a lot of us do have PlayStations and stuff like that, so this would be a good way in that. Sure, it won't be a PC sort of project in this case, but it'd be a good way for us to potentially build something in our own basketball game in a lot of ways. And given that, especially with the timing right now, with the Media Molecules Dreams beta, which is their upcoming title, well, Dreams is their upcoming title. This is it's a game, but it's also a game engine, and you can create pretty much any type of video game, music video that you want. The only type of game that you can't really make is like an MMO, and that's just because of the amount of people, I suppose, on the server side element to it. It's something that's been playing on my mind is like, if we could attempt to create, if we wanted to create something that was a sim basketball game, more of an arcade sort of one, like a Jam or a Street kind of game, we could potentially do that. And again, this game engine in itself allows people to collaborate and use different tools and things like that. So we can work with this as a community project in that sort of way. It gives that freedom of it. So it was just an idea, again, just floating around, seeing if anyone wants to be a part of it. It would obviously take a little bit of time, especially, you know, the first few weeks, even first few months when the game obviously releases, that trying to get familiar with the tools and how to work it and that. And what's good is you don't need a PlayStation Move controller. You can just use the actual DualShock 4 and all that stuff as well. Also, it'd be something that we could create for VR as well. So there's kind of a cool aspect and something that we could sort of do with this. And yeah, again, it'd be early stages of just sort of seeing if anyone would be interested, what types of things that they would like to do with it. It'll, you know, help in what ways does that like to contribute, what type of mode or type of game style we'd like to create it, you know, whether we go the artistic sort of stylistic approach to it, or if we want to go something a little bit more realistic looking, or if we want to go sim or arcade. It's just an idea that I've wanted to float around for a little while and want to see if anyone would like to participate in it.
Well, you know, we do actually have a few designers in the community. We've got Dr. B, who just has just before Christmas or around Christmas time released a game that he created in Stencil for PC and Mac called Hoops Universe. So that's actually in our downloads database. You'll see the download link by the time this podcast goes up. So we do actually have some people who are, I think, interested in doing that. So I think it's worth floating that idea. We'll bring it up in the other basketball game section of the forum as well, and see if there's some people who want to get on board with it, because it's, you know, I think that's something that everybody kind of dreams about doing. I know before he went to work on at 2K, Just Ming often talked about, you know, one of his dreams. I think he read a couple articles about it for the site as well. The pipe dream of being able to make his own game, you know, in some kind of game engine platform, like you're talking about. So, I mean, as you say, it could be a lengthy project, and we've seen a lot of indie projects how long they can take. But yeah, if some people wanted to get on board, it could be a cool thing for the community to do. And it's obviously not going to be a AAA title, I suppose. It's not going to, you know, it's going to be an indie project. But seeing the kind of talent we have in the community with modding and everything, yeah, it could be something that people want to throw their hat into the ring with.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to contribute with it. And, you know, Dreams, when I first saw that and what they plan to do with it, and that, you know, there's been some intriguing things that I've love to try with it. You know, the fact that it's so versatile and the fact that it's collaborative as well, yeah, I think it's just potentially the perfect thing that we could create our own community-based game, and it just be, again, a matter of people having the PlayStation, people having the game. But the fact that, yeah, if we do so much with it. I'll be posting the thing in the forum, you know, posting some of the tutorial stuff, or, you know, when they start some developer blogs and showing how things are made in it, so, you know, people can sort of get a bit more of an understanding of what you can do with it. There's also like a rapid fire question that Games Informer did. There's something, I think, like 200 questions or something, and so you can get, again, an idea of what they're trying to do with the game and with the engine and its tools and all that stuff. So, you know, it's another thing that Mini Molecule wanted to do is see what type of games people could create. And the kind of ultimate goal is to sort of see, you know, if it's something that Sony or them could end up, you know, becoming actually a published title in that sort of way. So that's kind of where they want to go with it. So who knows, it could potentially lead to that. And it could also be a pathway for anyone who in the community that wants to try and get into games development, that they can use this as a part of, I guess, portfolio. So in terms of, you know, if they're wanting to apply for any EA or 2K or anybody else that jumps into the market, and that's like, I can do this kind of work, this is part of the project that I worked on, this is my roles, this is what I created when working with so many other people. So yeah, it's just, it seems like something that could be potentially very cool.
So Kenny, we're going to need you to come up with a name that's as good as Orange Juice.
Yeah, I'll work on it. But there's one thing that I kind of thought of while you were talking about that, and that was, you know, a program like that could be an interesting way to kind of flesh out maybe like a My Career kind of story that doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of gameplay in it, but could be like a branching thing, almost like a Telltale game. So you could do something like that just to kind of prove that, hey, this is how we want the story to be done. It can be done this way. We just need to add in the gameplay elements now. And, you know, that I think doing something like that could open up like a lot of pathways for people as well, because, you know, 2K have always gone into, well, lately they've going into like that whole story driven My Career mode. So, yeah, it could be a good opportunity to for some people to flex their skills in that kind of a program.
Yeah, and, you know, we could definitely make something that has elements of narrative. All the music and stuff like that we can actually create in the game. You can actually even import audio and stuff and other things into it. I think you can also even 3D print some things and like get some of the assets and stuff 3D printed in as well. Yeah, like I said, VR support as well. So there's a lot that can be done with it, and what they, from the information that they've put out about the game, like the game and game engine itself. So, yeah, I think there's definitely that sort of, like, just sort of seeing and the possibilities that we could create and how versatile this engine is, and could be a fun little project in that. And like I said, yes, I know it will take a while, you know, potentially minimum of a year to create, but could be worth the reward in that sort of sense. And, you know, in that, yeah, we could say we've made our own game in that sort of sense instead of just modding it.
And then we can get picked up by 2K, get the partnership as well, and it could be NLC 2K, The Journey on the Hardwood 2K21. Just rolls off the tongue.
Oh, yeah.
Presented by State Farm.
Yes. the possibilities, gentlemen, the possibilities. So it has come time to that part of the show, as we have finished up with the news and some of our other feature discussion, to talk about our week in basketball gaming.
Alley-oop! Oh, what a play!
It looks simple, but it's hard to execute.
Or indeed, our holidays in basketball gaming. And I know, Ben, you've been spending a lot of time on the virtual hardwood. Ben's going through withdrawals at the moment.
I have missed playing. It's been about since November 27th since I've last played my PlayStation 4.
Not that you're counting with a specific date or anything. So.
I was to be back in about 10 days, like back in Brisbane about 10 days, but I am actually going to be extending my stay down here to make up for some lost time, given that I've been in hospital and been sick and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's...
So you were in hospital over your birthday as well, or?
It was about a week, and a half beforehand. I got sick again just a couple of days after, right sort of leading up to a couple of days, about 2 days before Christmas or something, 3 days before Christmas. So that's been a fun period.
So right now Ben's hands are just like instinctively moving as you would with a controller as he goes through the withdrawals of PlayStation 4.
Actually, you're pretty much spot on just then. Actually, my hands were kind of like doing that or being fiddly in some way. So, yeah, it's, you know, I am missing playing. You know, there's been a few games that I want to play as well, given that I just bought a few just before coming down as well, like Spider-Man and Shadow Colossus and things like that as well. So, yeah, it's one to get back into those. But I am enjoying, doing what I'm doing down here. Just been probably a couple, because... parent, my mom doesn't, well, up until in a couple, about three more days, doesn't have like a huge broadband plan in that sort of sense, so there's kind of days when you're not really using the internet much, and it's like, there's not much on TV, like free-to-air TV, because it's everyone's like holidays kind of thing, so it's just garbage on TV, so it's like, need something to do.
That's why you needed a Switch, so you could take it away.
Yeah.
So. But,
yeah, I suppose that doesn't need to be connected online, so that might be...
You just have to play 2K19 offline, I suppose, if you do it that way, if you don't have the connection. So, I mean, obviously when you get back, you know, looking to do the NLSC Pro-Am squad, although we did actually get a game, we had a couple of games with our squad, ZZ joined in, so we can actually join in with people from overseas now, so they have actually addressed that. We still need a maximum of 5, to do it. There's no minimum of 3 to play. Doesn't look like that's going to happen this year, unfortunately. But we only got the 2 games, Kenny, because that's all we could get.
Yeah, 2 games against the same opponent as well. I believe I wrote a tweet about that saying that, you know, they kind of dropped the ball on that one because there aren't a lot of people probably on our server that would be able to get an entire squad of 5. So, yeah, it makes the mode a lot less accessible.
Because, I mean, how many games do we have when maybe we had just 3 or 4, but the other people had 3 or 4 as well, so clearly it's not just us.
Yeah. What was it, like 400 or 500 in...
2K17, yeah.
2K17, yeah.
That's how many we got to play.
Games, yeah, 520 that we played in 2K17, and I think it was close to 200, 100, maybe 180 or something like that in 2K18.
Still, as much as we complained about 2K18, we did give it a pretty good go for a few months there. So we absolutely did. We've talked, obviously, about the situation before, about the getting rid of the minimum 3 versus 3, but we thought, oh, well, it's going to be better once we get to play team and not have to do the Jordan Rec Center. But we ended up the night, the 5 of us going to the Rec Center as the squad and just playing the Rec Center because we actually got a game.
Yeah, it's... The Pro-Am arena is kind of barren when there's only, like, I guess one other team playing. So you can pretty much always get a game, like, within reasonable hours at the Rec Center. They're not always ideal, but when you have 5 players, it's a bit more manageable. I think we won 1 game in that session.
When you've got the 5 people there and you go into the Rec Center, it's basically Team Pro-Am without branding. And stat tracking, I get. Well, there is stat tracking, but not the individual team tracking, because you've got the 5. We did have a terrible random teammate, Ben. We think it was a troll, basically, because he came in with a 61 overall player and just spent the whole game running out of bounds and not defending his player who scored 60 points. But, I mean, Kenny, that had to be a troll. Like, he was going out of his way, I feel, to mess with us. Because we tried to give him a chance, even gave him a couple of inside shots, and he just wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you kind of roll the dice when it comes to not having five players in the rec center. So, yeah, that's sometimes, well, most of the time, that's the kind of teammate that you get. Because I think the game we won, we had a really awesome teammate.
That's right.
But, yeah, the rest of the time, the teammates aren't that crash hot.
So it is kind of a shame that the online mode, and of course we've been upgrading our players to be effective online, and I'm up to 90 overall. I hit 90. I haven't spent a single cent on VC. It's the only, except for the pre-order VC, which is included in the price of the game anyway, no extra for that. I've been able to get to 90 without spending any VC, even without winning the trivia, which I could kick myself because I got to the 10th question on one of the trivia, I think I might have mentioned on another show, and I actually got the answer wrong. And it was, what does URL stand for? And you would think, as a web designer, I would know that. But I had a mental blank, and I got it wrong. And man, was I kicking myself, because it was about 140,000 VC share of that day. So it would have been really nice. But I ended up getting to 90 overall. Badges are getting close to maxed out across the board. So I've got a pretty decent playmaker. And I'm dunking. It's fantastic. I can hit threes and dunk. It's all I want to do on offense, basically. So it's actually so much more fun than 2K18 in that regard. Because as you guys know, I laid up a lot where I would have liked to dunk last year, but I can actually throw down. Had that one, Kenny, where I posterized that 7-footer and just got that little bit of dignity left in that loss.
Yeah, that was a really, really good dunk. Unfortunately, the rest of the game wasn't that great, but
it was not a slam dunk. The rest of the game, no.
The rest of the game was a blown layup.
Absolutely, it was a pre-tuned layup in NBA Live 19 or possibly 2K18. That one, but we had a few good moments. Do we play any playground games? I know I joined in with a few randoms in the playground when I was grinding VC and such, and I joined in with a couple of 70s overall because like, nobody wanted to play with them. I'm like, oh, I know what it's like, basically, when you're trying to get a game as randoms in the playground. And it's funny, now that I'm 90 overall, I actually get random squad invites as well because it's like, have you looked at my record in the playground? You don't want me on the team necessarily, but I'm 90 overall, I suppose.
We had a couple of games in the playground and because the server crashed or something, we ended up not having our win count.
That's right. I did get the win eventually. I get my first win eventually. And played a couple of... The thing that I was really taking advantage of during the holiday season was the daily bonuses they had were 5,000 VC for doing the in-game tasks. And some of them were really generous, like hit one limitless three, and I hit about four or five limitless threes a game as a sharpshooter. So there's like, okay,
yeah, well, generous for you as a guard, not for like the 7-3 center that can't shoot past the paint.
I mean, well, that's why everyone's making guards and forwards, aren't they? Because of that,
exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
And so I make five dunks, so I got that in the game because I can dunk now. And things hit corner threes and things like that. So, but you are right there. It's actually very guard oriented. But one of them was finish a game in the cages, and that's when I've never seen the cages as busy on the Australian server and the Asian server because people were just wanting to get that free 5,000 VC basically. And I went and played the cages again, and even though I swore I never would, but hey, 5,000 VC is 5,000 VC, man. So got me that step closer to 90 overall, so I was about to take it. I'm pretty happy with that, and it's also allowed me to put my career aside for a bit and take a bit of a break, play other things, my team, for example. But I'm about up to game 67 now, Kenny, and I actually got that commentary where they talk about how whether AI is technically a rookie or not, so the one that you talked about. So
yeah
I mean, it makes you think that perhaps they could have just changed the story to suit that.
I mean, he's absolutely not a rookie and totally not comparable to Ben Simmons, but yes, I've been on that rant before.
Yeah. So I got that one. I am going to probably finish the season, win the championship, which I know is a sore point, Kenny, because you really got screwed over in that situation.
Story time. Okay. So I breezed through, I think, the first three rounds of the playoffs, swept all three teams, got to the Golden State Warriors, managed to get to a game 7 in the NBA Finals. I believe I was up 20 points with the clock winding down. Clock wound down. You know, we're all celebrating and everything. And then I got a server error.
Oh
my God, what a kick in the nuts that was.
Yeah.
So I loaded the game back up, and it went back to the pre-game presentation. The game hadn't been played. So I actually captured the entire game on my... I captured the video for the entire thing on my PlayStation. So there's evidence of the game being played. But, that'll go on the cutting room floor, I guess. But, you know, maybe I'll release it just as, like, the lost championship game or something like that.
Alternate reality. Just,
yeah.
Yeah, and create, like, one of those YouTube conspiracy videos like they had for the Sacramento Kings versus the Lakers. So, yeah, maybe I'll do something like that because it was against the Warriors. And, I mean, they pretty much are the Lakers of this decade. So, yeah, that was my little my career incident, I suppose.
Yeah, that's tough. And, of course, the famous error message, there's a problem with your connection to our server. No, there's not. There's a problem with our server. It's
Oh, yeah. Sorry, there's one more bit I forgot to add. I replayed the game and the Warriors won. So, yeah.
Yeah,
that was a major, major robbery. And add further insult to injury, DeMarcus Cousins won the finals MVP, despite the fact that he averaged like half the points that I did, and I pretty much killed him in every other category. But yeah.
I suppose it's only appropriate for a team with Draymond Green to kick you in the nuts like that. I mean, we've all had that in some case, a lost game because of the power outage or the server error or whatever. And it's, you don't feel like playing again, basically. It really does kill your enthusiasm for a mode.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, it kind of wrecked the mode for me for a few days. But then after that, I was like, I could probably get back to that point again. It'll take a bit of grinding, I suppose. But if worse comes to worse, I can always like ask for a trade and join the Warriors. So
your next chapter, basically. Yeah. So.
I'll join them and we'll become the super duper team, and then probably lose the NBA Finals again. But
another server error comes along. It just
although it's the Warriors, they seem to get all the luck, so. Maybe that'll be my tactic for season 2.
They get the out of bounds calls. We know that much from the Rockets game.
Oh, real life, that was horrible. It's like, how the hell did they get
it? I've seen some bad officiating as both watching professional basketball and playing in the local leagues, especially playing in the local leagues. Actually, never anything that blatant. That was we needed some conspiracy theories on that one too. But
Chris Paul's tweet about the Bird Box challenge.
Yeah.
Pretty spot on.
That was a very good call about a very bad call, actually, that he made. So, yeah. But having taken that break from my career, and I've done something similar, looking to get a bit more into my team, I unlocked the auction house on both PC and PS4. That was a whole ordeal, but I managed to do that and get a few items for cheap. So you've been playing a bit of my team as well, and you've got some pretty decent players.
Yeah, so I completed the My Team Domination mode, the first one. I got myself an Amethyst Mark Eaton card, which blocks pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're over 7'3" and 2K, all you have to really do is jump near the ball and you'll probably block it. But I've got myself a pretty decent team now. I just before recording the podcast, I pulled a Amethyst Anthony Davis. So I managed to replace Tom Heinsohn in my starting lineup with him. So
good timing with that card. It's just Sandy's son.
What's that?
Good timing with getting that Anthony Davis guy, given
that. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I saw that I had a bit of MT, and I was just like, oh, what the hell, I'll just buy a pack, and kind of got to be excited when I saw that one of them was like an Amethyst card, and I was like, oh my god, you know, I'm actually going to get a decent player from this pack. And yeah, sure enough, Anthony Davis was it, and I didn't really need the power forward in my lineup, but it does mean that all my players in my starting lineup are at least Amethyst level, so that's yeah, a definite improvement.
I managed to get the on this day Michael Jordan in the recent second chance locker code. I got that on PC because I already got him on PS4, so I've got him on both platforms now. A little bit ahead in the token department on PC, so I've actually now got the rookie Jordan, sort of early prime Pippen, and Spurs Rodman all on the team at the moment, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's nice. I actually, just before the podcast as well, I unlocked the Ruby level players in the reward card system, and Ben, you'll appreciate this. The first player I bought as a Ruby was actually Eddie Jones.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, it was a good card there.
Is that a Lakers or Hornets?
Lakers. So it's rated 89 overall, and I think it's the highest rated Ruby card in the reward lineup. So, yeah, it's actually really good.
I think Pippen's like an 88, actually. Robin 88. So it would be one of the higher ones. Yeah, that might be the next one I have to go for, actually, because that's a pretty good one. I've got Luke Longley as well. I got Luke Longley, Sean Bradley, and Manute Bol from the Sapphire, because that's I had to go for those.
I picked up those three as well. I also picked up Scott Pollard as well. I was a bit disappointed when Chris Webber was in commentary and he didn't like have any tidbits about Scott Pollard, because I was like, dude, who's your teammate? Like, you don't have anything to say about him?
Hey, kids, do drugs. It's just moment of realization when he says, realize what he says and what's going to happen.
But, you know, just as like a kind of like a side note, I've noticed that commentators are actually like commenting about the historical players. So I think that's kind of a nice touch that they've added to my team.
And that's something we don't get a whole lot of in Ultimate Team. I mean, Ultimate Team has a lot of issues as far as how it can be a lot better. And I feel like it took a step back in Live 19, unfortunately. Something that they did you get the gift packs over Christmas in Ultimate Team?
No, I haven't.
They might still be there, because I logged in and they actually had some gift packs over Christmas, which was nice. And the Christmas challenges are still up as well. And there's some pretty decent cards there. So yeah, it's actually maybe worth playing now, but I think they've really dropped the ball on Ultimate Team this year as far as the content and the modes go.
Yeah, I think Ultimate Team took a major step back this year. I think one of the things that made it attractive in NBA Live 18 was the fact that you could get pretty decent cards straight away, and you know, the pack odds were pretty decent as opposed to 2K. But
yeah, I mean, yeah. I spent money last year on some cards for Live 18 and got the Scottie Pippen and everything. I was quite happy with that.
Yeah, but now it's kind of, it's almost like the 2K Playgrounds case where they start off really bad. Mm. And do you actually build them up in Live Ultimate Team, or are they just bad cards?
They've just been releasing new versions of the cards, basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't really interest me by the sounds of it. So.
Haven't really had any of the special packs and the Legends packs like last year. Yeah, it really feels like they're trying to funnel everyone through to the one, and that is going to be a big issue for Live moving forward, as we've discussed so many times before. But yeah, Ultimate Team, yeah, was quite disappointing in that regard. But that being said, I would like to play through some of it. The Christmas challenges look pretty good. You can get a Pippen, you can get a LeBron, you can get a Wilt Chamberlain, and some other players all the way up to a... The ultimate challenge is to save Christmas with Shaqmas. So they've started to push it through. Better late than never, I suppose. But then you go to my team. I mean, I'm looking forward to playing some more my team this year, because especially now that I've made enough progress in my career to put it aside for a little bit, except for when we play the connected modes. Yeah, because there is domination and there is... I'm not really into the online modes, but of course you have all the other challenges and everything, and the weekly challenges, which are sticking around this year, which again, great change that they've made this year with 2K and my team, that the fact that the challenges don't disappear. So I'm actually quite inclined to give that a shot.
Yeah, my team's absolutely stacked with content this year, and it's something that I've gotten sucked back into because I knew that I would eventually, but I was kind of resisting it for a while. But now I'm definitely back into it. Now that I'm onto the historical domination, I've kind of seen the lineups that you have to go against, and they've kind of bucked the trend of previous years where you went up against historical lineups. Now you go against like historical theme teams. So one division is like rookie classes, another one is like international players and that kind of stuff. And I thought it would address like the problem where some teams were unable to fill their lineups with real players, so they had like John Smith and John Johnson or whatever the generic names
were. Placeholder ones,
Roster
player. By the way,
not saying John Smith is a generic name, but you know,
2K is turning Young into a generic name. Have you noticed how many times they've used Young now as the
Marcus Young, Justice Young.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Alden
absolutely.
Young. That was you, actually.
That was me. Alden Young. But anyway, one thing I noticed, the first team I played against was the 01 draft class, and they had two generic players on there, and I thought, that's a bit strange, because I would have thought 01 was recent enough for them to have a license for 13 players, but they had to fill two of the spots with generics.
2001. Kwame? Was Kwame there? Or
That was the Kwame Brown draft, yes. So team, they had like... No, he wasn't in the team.
Right.
He was one of the omissions, but they had like Tyson Chandler, Tony Parker, Richard Jefferson. So they had quite a few. They had one or two kind of obscure ones, like Stephen Hunter. I kind of forgot he even existed.
He'd be on one of the historical teams. Game. That'd be why.
Was on the Suns one, I think.
There's probably no historical team that accounts for Kwame Brown, or I'm guessing Eddie Curry. Would he be the other one?
Eddie Curry wasn't on there either. So
yeah, that'd be the two, the top five that would be not licensed. Yeah,
but I would have thought there would have been other players that they could have like licensed in that draft. Like to only have 11 from that entire draft of 60. That's kind of a bit strange. Like, why would they even have it in the first place if they couldn't get 13?
You couldn't fill it. I mean, that's kind of been the case with some of the historical teams, I suppose. They've all got the John Smiths, as you say, and everything. John Davis and all the other generic players.
Yeah.
But, no, it is jam-packed with content, as you say, and it's something that you can really get your teeth, sink your teeth into. I still want to now head back to my league as well. That would be something fun to do now that I've got the rest of the year. And that is the great thing, as we've said about 2K before, is with all these deep modes, over the next 8 or 9 months while we wait for 2K20, we've got all this available to us. And the big thing is what is Live going to do to really keep our interest throughout the next few months when it's already 3 months into the year of its life cycle, where we're kind of wondering, what do we play with it? And Ultimate Team, I'll give it a bit of a look and maybe a bit more of the the live events and everything, but it's just not quite enough yet.
Yeah, I mean, I might give my female player like a bit more of a go. Like, I created like a female player, I think, in the demo or something, just to see what you could actually do with a female player in the mode. It's pretty much just the world tour circuit, and that's pretty much it. But I mean, aside from all the online modes, but those don't really interest me in live. So, but yeah, I'll give live a bit of a go, because it is a lot easier for me to access now that it is actually installed onto my hard drive, as opposed to being like a disc version. So,
And of course, we have Basketball Classics. We're still going to try and find a way to beat the Phantom 5.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another game I need to check out more. And I even played a little bit of On Fire Edition over the Christmas period as well. And
how good is it?
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was such a great game. It's still, like I said before, arcade games can be evergreen, and that game, it still feels really good.
And look, all respect to Iron Eagle and the YouTubers that are doing the commentary on NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, but Tim Kitzrow, what can you say?
Yeah, it's hard to go past him. He's some of his calls are just, yeah, really iconic.
So with that being said, hopefully it is another good year of basketball gaming as we wait for the new titles to come out. There certainly seems to be some life in 2K, if nothing else. Ben, I'm sure you're, again, looking forward to getting back onto the virtual hardwood when you finish having fun with family down there.
Yeah, it'd be nice to sort of catch up with a few more family members that I need to, especially an auntie who's just had heart surgery after a couple of heart attacks, and another uncle who's... dementia is getting pretty bad, so I need to see them before I return. But it's probably about a month away before I come back. So this is going to be a long trip, that's for sure.
It'll be a long grind for the team as well.
Yeah. My cat's having fun down here, too, so that's pretty good. Glad I brought him down, because given how long I'll be away for. So,
but with that being said, I think we've wrapped up another episode of the NLC podcast, the first one for 2019, which would be. Season 7, gentlemen.
Jeez. Been running longer than some TV programs.
But not The Simpsons, of course, which is in its 30th season now. So that's...
Imagine if we ran that long.
I'd like to think maybe we'll move on to some other things by that time, perhaps. But hey... Never...
Time it.
Yeah, never rule it out, I suppose. But... in any event, good to be back on the air talking about our favorite subjects. Certainly one of our favorite subjects anyway, basketball video games. We certainly hope everyone enjoyed tuning in and listening to the show, being back on the air. Thank you once again to all the positive feedback we got when we mentioned the hiatus and asked for some feedback. If indeed you enjoyed the show, we encourage you to subscribe on iTunes. You can also get us on various podcatching apps such as Stitcher. Search for the NLC podcast, look for our logo, that will be us. Or hey, keep streaming on the NLC itself, as long as you're tuning in and enjoying it. That's the main thing, so join us throughout 2019 for more discussion. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter, at the NLC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/NLSC. We're on Instagram, NLSC Basketball, just to change it up. And of course, the NLSC itself is mb-live.com, where we have the podcast, our articles, our modding community, everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that will do it for episode number 269 of the NLSC podcast. Happy New Year once again. Until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arkane.
And I'm Kenny.
Go get buckets, everyone.